to me. Don't give me that hand. Don't do that to me.
Your home for the 12th man and the NFL presents Mike Holmgren.
Say, on sprint option, if they rush that guy that wide, loaded, doesn't get it done. Go to something else.
Brought to you by Toyota of Kirkland. Check out their entire vehicle inventory at toyotaofkirkland.com or stop by their showroom. Buy Redbox. Redbox has the newest movies fresh from the theater for under $2 a night. Go to the box or stream on demand. And buy Real Steel. If you want power and reliability, you want a Steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com.
This is what I had my little peewee guy, Pop Warner, when I start coaching. They could do it better than you guys. And I paid them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
Now, Mike Holmgren on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Can't start it that way.
No, you can't. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, because everyone's riding on your shoulders now.
9 o'clock hour here on this Monday. We are Monday morning quarterbacking Chuck Powell, Bucky Jacobson, Ashley Ryan, Hugh Millen, and now Mike Holmgren joins the conversation after a 23-13 loss to the Cardinals on Sunday, and it felt really gross. Not only the performance, but the outlook for the remainder of the season. And so we'll dive into that conversation in a moment. Let me just quickly say that it is Apple Cup week as well. And so if you want to get tickets, we have tickets nearly sold out, by the way, for the Apple Cup on Friday. We'll be giving them away today. Today we're basically treating the entire broadcast day as a sign-up sheet for Apple Cup tickets. And so if you would like to be on that sign-up sheet and qualify for the ticket drawing tomorrow, text us your first name, your last name, your hometown, and put the word Apple on that text, and we'll know what you're texting about to 49451. Tomorrow, starting at 7 a.m., we'll start handing out tickets, calling out winners, so you have to listen tomorrow because you'll have 10 minutes to respond if, in fact, your name is called to get those tickets. And so today we sign up, tomorrow we draw, and we give away, and we make Husky and Coug fans very happy. Now, Coach Holmgren joins us. And so, Coach, what do you think, apple pie or pumpkin pie? If you could only have one slice on Thursday, what are you going for?
Apple pie all the way. I'm sorry, but pumpkin pie has never made it.
Never.
Made it for me. A lot of, you know, that's, I know that's going to upset a lot of people, but I don't even think it's close.
Not even close.
I don't even think it's close.
Agreed.
What about the creams, the bananas and the coconut and all that? Do you like the cream pies?
Yeah, cream pies are okay. Yeah, but I probably haven't had a piece of pie in, I don't know, I'm just trying, I'm not little, you know, so I got to be careful about the desserts.
Well, there's got to be some pie in your Thursday, that's all I'm going to say.
I got to sneak it, though. Kathy, if Kathy's around, I got to sneak it, and that's a terrible thing to say, you know.
All right, well, I'd like to just talk about pie all hour because what we have to discuss with the Seahawks is not so good. We got cut off a little bit in our last segment. I was asking Hugh, so Hugh, you weigh in on this as well, but I'll start here with Coach. Russell was asked by Greg Bell, Coach, after the game yesterday, do you just not want to take the dump down, the short pass? Are you just set on throwing the ball downfield? And his answer was pretty much, you know, hey, we got great receivers. I got to get them the ball deep. And so I would just ask you, and then Hugh, of course, finished what you were saying in the last hour. But, Coach, you know, if you had a quarterback that was refusing to take that profit, I mean, it felt like he was just flat refusing it. What would your response to him be the next time you had a chance to sit down and chat with him?
Well, I think that's a good question. It's a tough question to ask. And his response doesn't surprise me because it kind of hits at the center of what's happening. And, you know, you just look at the other team yesterday. They short passed the Seahawks to death in that game, and there are so many parts of an effective passing game. Certainly the deep throw, and he's made his living on deep throws to those guys, and they're very talented. Lockett, but they also if you throw the ball to other people underneath, it makes the defense play the entire thing. And I haven't studied the film. Hugh has looked at the film and would be much better at commenting on that than I would be. But I got the feeling that, yeah, their plan was, I don't know if it's talked about in meetings. I don't know if I don't know, but there are opportunities underneath to sustain drives. The short pass allows you to sustain drives and not go to that 40-minute, 20-minute thing on how often you have the ball in the game, and it's cost them the last 2 weeks.
Mike, my thought is that in a general sense, you could put pass plays in two categories. Of course, there's multiple distant passes, but for the purposes of this discussion, most pass plays are drawn up where you have some type of choice for the quarterback, where you've got an intermediate, maybe a deep, you have a peek at the post, but that's not really your first progression. Then maybe you got the tight end on a basic, you're in route and you got the check downs, right? And so the quarterback is saying, hey, do I have a chance to get the ball down the field for maybe a 12, 15-yard gain, or even, a go route up the sideline, a post possibly, or is it better to show discretion and check down? No, we want to avoid either extremes. We don't want to be the gunslinger that's always forcing the ball down the field, because that's reckless. But we don't want to be the check down Charlie who's scared to take opportunities when we're there, because then at the end of the day, we're not going to throw in interceptions, but we're going to only score 10 points or 13
right.
points, right? So,
right.
But there's that category of it. And in that case, we're talking about discretion. Throwing the ball, for those who advocate, hey, let's get Metcalf involved, it doesn't mean throwing a deep post into double coverage after three hitches and throw it late.
Right.
It's like, give him a chance on single coverage. And then, but then the other category, Mike, is the ones where it's kind of mirrored. There is no deep response. There's no trigger of your aggression mentality, meaning, for example, double slants on both sides. You could call it sides. A lot of times they've been doing this, the 2x2, where the inside receivers, Chuck, are going 5-yard out routes. Mike would call them stick routes. And then the outside receivers are running 5-yard out routes. They would call those Oscars. In that case, Russell, you're saying pick a side based on matchup, alignment of the corner, and some other aspects. And in that case, you're not thinking, oh, those plays are not drawn up to have the quarterback enticed to try and throw the ball down the field, because there's no receivers down the field. You got to pick the side. And so I think that Russ is, to summarize it, Mike, Russ has made mistakes in both categories. Even on the ones where it's the quick game, it's pick a side, execute, he's making mistakes as to which side he's picking. And that's part of the breakdowns of why you're not playing well offensively.
Well, that's – and you said it very well. I would say in preparing your offensive game plan, the passing part of it, okay, and again, without getting too technical, there's a vertical game and there's a horizontal game, and depending on whether they're playing two deep coverage or three deep coverage or single coverage man-to-man, okay, built into any particular play, you call one play, the quarterback sees what's out there, and then your progression could change on how you look and the order in which you look at people based on what you're seeing and what they're playing. And it just seems to me that that's not happening. That's not happening nearly enough. And to your point, pick a side. This coverage is telling me to throw it here. That's not open. So here's number two. Here's number three. And it's just not happening enough.
Yeah. I mean, Coach, is there something about Russell's play right now that looks rusty to you, or maybe affected by the finger, or is it more between the ears, just not really, clicking as far as his mental progressions go?
Well, I think that's a good point, Bucky, and I was thinking of that. They started the game and bang, bang, he gets sacked twice on the first series. And in his mind, I don't care who the quarterback is. And Hugh can talk to this. You get banged early in a game, bang, 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 and all of a sudden you could be the toughest guy in the world, but it's creeping in your mind, we're not pass protecting well enough, or is it going to be a game like this, and so then all of a sudden your decision-making might be affected a little bit. It might not be that, But I think that to completely ignore that, if he's getting knocked around a little bit early in a football game, could determine exactly how he kind of thinks through the rest of the football game. And I think that they got off to a bad start in that first series. And so, I think he's, but his hand, I can't believe his hand is right. I can't believe it. Because there were throws yesterday, I go, my goodness, you know that one wasn't really even very close. And so, but, you know, it's we're so used to seeing him play the game a certain way that I think I'm probably being a little hard on him right now. But it was tough for him yesterday, and I think rust is part of it.
You and I may have seen it different, Mike, because I thought that physically – I thought he looked better than Green Bay, because Green Bay, he had, you know, I mean, he airmailed a hitch route right over the top of Tyler. He had a on the left side, on the right side, he had a comeback, and he threw it 10 feet over his head. So maybe it's all relative. I think you could say that he might have been better physically yesterday, still not to 100%. And then to your point, which I think is absolutely true, I think for an athlete, when you are injured and you've got something bugging you, I think it can take away from your focus. There's a reason we have that word in the dictionary. And if you're thinking about your injury, it can mar your decision making. And for a quarterback to have to make, you know, good decisions in a fraction of a second, if you any part of your mind is preoccupied with, hey, is this going to hurt or how do I handle this injury, it's going to have an effect on your decision making.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and I think that's kind of what I thought about. And you watch him when he gets tackled now, and he figures out a way not to have that hand grinding into the ground. He's protecting that hand even in the course of a sack or a tackle. He's going down. He's going to tuck that thing, and so you know by that to your point, he's thinking about it. He's aware of it.
Yeah, and I wonder, I mean, he seems to be still confident that it's a quick fix, that he's close, and yet the performances have not shown that here, obviously, the last couple of weeks, Coach, and particularly on third down. I mean, they just cannot execute on third down. All right, we've laid some stuff at Russell's feet. How much are we going to lay at the feet of scheme, of coordination of the offense here with this particular issue?
I think that's something that I was thinking about as well, Chuck. I think it appears to me as though they are set up, they're willing right now, because their defense is a bend but don't break type of thing. And even a team like Arizona, who has weapons, even though they didn't have two of their main weapons, going in with 7 minutes to go in the game, it's 16-13. You know, and so it seems like they're playing the game that way on offense. And so instead of just going, I've told this story before. Fritz Sherman would always ask me, how many do I have to score today? And he'd say, well, you got to score 40. You know, my defensive coordinator. And so you go, I like that. I mean, you know, let freeze me up. Let me go. And it seems like, I could be way off base here, but it seems like to me they're playing the game right now to win it 16-13 or 17-14. And offensively, that's how they're calling the game. That's how they're thinking. And I don't know. I think you're putting handcuffs on them just a little bit. I say, look, at this season's a rough season, and it's hard when you're in one of these. When you're going down this road just a little bit, when you're used to winning almost every time, you know, cut it loose, you know, and that means spreading the ball around and just give that confidence to your offensive football team. Okay, we've tried it this way. I know Pete wants to run the ball, and I want to run the ball. Everyone wants to run the ball. But let's cut it loose and play Seahawks football. That's what I'm hoping to see, and I think I just see a different offense in the last couple, 3 weeks.
Mike, in addition to that, the philosophy, and we're kind of banging on Russ a little bit. I have a thought about what I'm seeing, and the way I describe it is, when you say to receivers, hey, hang a left at a Buick, You know, that's what you did in elementary school when you played touch football on the street, right? You're never going to reach your potential as a passing offense unless there is attention to detail. The precision is in the details. And just a couple plays to illustrate that. Yesterday, you saw on a third down where Russell threw the ball on a slant route out there to Hart, Penny Hart, right? And that was the double slant, the Lion. And the inside guy there, Freddie Swain, he's attacking that overhead defender instead of going through his inside to pull him in. He's going straight up the field and bringing that overhead defender out to the outside slant. And I know how you would teach it. You would say, no, attack the inside shoulder to keep that defender inside. And exactly. So Russell, to his left side, he had a variation of Z spot. It was a reduced split, but he had Tyler open. It was the running back was on a swing, five out protection swing, and so he had Russ. So he could have gone to Tyler to his left, but he chose to go double slant, which is fine. It's too high, but it was Waldron's technique that I think, and how he taught it caused the interception. One other example was we saw a seam route with DK Metcalf on the seam. Going right to left on the TV, and it was a nice ball, but he got dislodged from it. Well, the corner falls off of it. You look at the spacing balls on the right hash. It's a running back out there. A cornerback is not going to honor the hitch on a running back. He's going to be thinking, hey, I'd rather fall in on the seam route. So it's personnel. It's the spacing of the splits from the hash and what have you. So little details there where they're close to getting the seam, but they didn't think through some of the details of the that I'm describing, and so you're getting incompletions on both of those because of the detail and the precision is not there because of how it's taught.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, people when they watch the game, go out for it's like you said it, go out for a long one. You know, I'll throw it to you. And you look at some of the plays, the bigger plays, except that one cross that was just textbook, one play action pass, Tyler Lockett on the deep cross and against the zone, and then he was open, and it was perfect. That's just how you draw it up. But a lot of the deep plays are Russell in movement, Lockett adjusts and makes things happen that way. You know, it's kind of how you grow up in the business, I think. You know, I had the privilege of growing up in the business with Coach Walsh, and you know he was very precise. He taught a precise offense, and so then I tried to do the same thing. And so you don't have a guy you run a route. Well, I could go over here and I could be open. No, that's not your job. Your job is to go right there, and then the defense will react to you, and that guy will be open, or he won't, and then you're going to get the ball. But you got to go there. You got to turn his shoulders. Those types of little things. Now you get young receivers, like a Metcalf as an example. Great skill, great athletic ability, and I'm just using him as an example. I didn't see it yesterday, but you know those little things. They take some time to learn, and you couple that with a new coordinator. Yeah, there are some mm-hmm. built-in challenges there, and I think we're seeing it.
But Mike, and I know we got to get to break, Chuck. When you say it takes some time to learn, it has to be taught, right?
That's true.
I'm not convinced. As I'm just one fan and one analyst. I'm not convinced that if you sat down and talked Lion with Shane Waldron, I'm not 100% convinced that he would say, "Well, I'm teaching it for him to attack the inside shoulder," because I see him. The receiver just goes straight up the field, and again, Chuck, by going straight up the field, the theory is that you're pulling that inside defender wider, so he can influence the wider slant. Those are the details, and yeah, I would say it takes a while to learn if it's being taught, but I'm not positive that some of these details are being taught.
Yeah, no, that is a question, but I mean, it's just I'm for one again how I was raised. There's one way to teach. I was a high school history teacher and a high school coach, and I didn't change much. You know, you got to teach young guys, and then all of a sudden I got big young guys. So you got to teach them.
Yeah. It's funny, though, that you were such a good student of Bill Walsh because he's famous for loving pumpkin pie. And I don't know. I don't think you were paying attention in that class.
I know we got to go to break, but yeah. Look, if you had to rate four pies, let's go four pies.
Yep.
Okay, chocolate cream is up there. Banana cream is up there.
Okay.
You know, apple. Pie a la mode is up there. You stick pumpkin on your list, but it's way, way down. Way down.
All right. I don't know. Pretty sure Seifert was a pumpkin pie guy, too. So I don't know. I don't know what's happening here. All right.
Might be a reason not to have pumpkin pie.
We'll continue the conversation with Coach Holmgren right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Now back to Mike Holmgren, brought to you by Toyota of Kirkland, by Redbox, and by your steel dealers. On your home for the 12th man in the NFL, Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Well, Coach Holmgren launched the Pie Wars. That's all they're talking about on Twitter. They're not talking about our football analysis. All our listeners are talking about is pie right now. You know, and I didn't even have the heart to tell you that sweet potato pie is even better than pumpkin pie, but I'm surrounded by all of these, you know, the apple dumpling gang around here. So it's Chuck and Buck in the morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR. We're talking with Coach Holmgren, Hugh Millen here on this Monday, a 23-13 Cardinals win over the Seahawks. And, Coach, the statistics show that, you know, the Seahawks are allowing a lot fewer points here as of late, but they're still allowing a lot of yards. And it's worked to a degree, I suppose. But on the flip side, you being an offensive coach, you know, I know you've had a lot of respect for Tony Dungy. We've had that conversation in the past, but could you have ever, like, coached a team that was a bend but don't break style that kept your offense off the field for that long period of time?
No, I haven't. And it's frustrating as a play caller, offensive play caller, when we'd get in a game. I've been in games like that where all of a sudden we had a hard time stopping people, and they control the ball, and you're just anxious. You want the ball. You want to get the ball so you can get going on offense, and it's frustrating. And then all of a sudden it can affect how you approach your next series of plays. Listen, I got to, you know, and that's what's happened to them, I think, in the last couple weeks in particular, that but it's a two-edged sword. They can't sustain anything either. It's hard. It's been hard for them on third downs, converting third downs, getting the running game going to help create third and short situations and things like that. And so it's not just one thing. It's a combination of those two things. But, yeah, the bend but don't break. Yeah, but it's kind of worked, and they've been in games near the end. They have been in games near the end. Now, it helped that the guy missed a PAT and two field goals.
Yeah.
Then it would have been a little different. But then all of a sudden, that's just, look at one man's opinion. That's just not how I like to play offense. I when I was a coordinator, and I had told you the story before at BYU, our job was to score points. And we scored a lot of points against a lot of people. And Lavelle Edwards would come down, because I was on the sideline sending the plays in from Norm Chow, who was calling the plays, and he'd come down and game said, run the ball, don't throw the ball anymore. And we only had about four runs. And Norm would say to my ear, he's coming at you, move. Don't let him catch you. Don't let him get you. Move around on the sideline. You know, keep throwing it. So I was taught, that's my job as offensive coordinator or play caller, to score points until the coach, head coach, says, okay, we got enough now, work the clock, or whatever you do. And then when I became a head coach, I was aware of that myself.
Coach, there was a time yesterday as the game was coming down, right? They had gotten close, and then the game was coming down to where maybe they could hang out. It looks like the Cardinals went after Jamal Adams. I mean, there was a third down where they got 20 yards, and then there was another one down there at the goal line that ended up getting that pass interference. Are you, when you're watching the game, do you think that was a situation where the Cardinals said, Zach Ertz is going to be better than Jamal Adams right here? And if so, is that a knock against the guy? Isn't that what Jamal Adams is supposed to be able to do, is shut down some of these good tight ends?
Yeah, I think as exactly that's what he's supposed to do. And but I would say that's a tough job on for one guy to do. You get the tight ends like Kelce and good, the great tight ends, the big guys who can run and know how to do stuff. To have one guy do that, and if I'm seeing coverage there in a plan and that the defense is saying, okay, we're going to play him man for man on that tight end, that's where I'm going. And I think I haven't watched the film on it, but you look at the goal line interference call as an example right near the end. You know, that's tough that, for any safety, when the guy's got position like that, he's big. It's hard on those guys. I always say the tight end has the advantage. And so I think other than the red zone, though, Bucky, I think the balls thrown to the tight end weren't just Jamal Adams. They were in the scheme of things, that's where you should go with the football. But down in close, yeah, then all of a sudden you're checking that out because he's a weapon down in the tight in the red zone.
Mike, the Cardinals had that one drive with 7:05 remaining, and Bucky was just describing two key third downs against cover one there. But the notion as we're assessing this defense, okay, it's been a bend, don't break. The yardage numbers have been poor, but the red zone numbers and the points numbers of late have been good. But at some level, not every drive is the same. And if you're a head coach there and your offense has been sputtering, it was 16-6. You just got the touchdown to pull within three. There's a lot of juice in the stadium there. Now, this is a time where if you're going to evaluate whether or not the defense is good or not, this has more weight. It's like the three-point contest in the NBA. You know, there's the four brown balls, and then there's the red, white, and blue ball. It's just the red, white, and blue ball is just more important, and this drive was just more important in terms of how we assess a defense.
No, it comes down to that, too, and then that was the game. I mean, think of all the stuff we've been talking about, and we've been critical, and it's hard for the fans and all that, but it came down to with 7 minutes to go in the game, 16-13. Okay, now Arizona has the ball. Now let's see what we got. It's a one-drive game, really, at that point, because you kind of think you see us come back and kick a field goal at the very least to tie it. Okay, but then they couldn't get that done. I mean, they couldn't get that done. And so that's, you have to think about that as well. I think part of that came, I would say, in Kenny Norton's decision-making, perhaps. I don't know for sure, but you know, they had injuries at corner. They were playing, and the announcers made a point of that on television, which was a fair point, I thought. Okay, now, you know, they can go to green. They can attack those guys on the outside. So as a defensive single caller, are you going to make those corners vulnerable? You know, what are you going to do? And so then as an offensive play caller, you're going to test it and see how they're going to do that. And with those young guys at the corner now and to make up for the injury. So, but that's the chess match that you get into as a defensive and offensive play caller. And that was the fun of it for me, you know. And but to your point, Hugh, that was a test. Okay, here's a drive. We got to stop them. And then give Arizona credit. You know, they went down there and scored.
Mike Holmgren, Hugh Millen with us here. Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR, 23-13. That's what we discussed. Seahawks losing to the Cardinals, falling to 3-7 on the season. And when we come back, we got one last thing for Coach Holmgren each right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR. Considering all the reaction, a good reaction we've had to our pie debates here, next football season, we might be the Monday Morning Baker. You know, Paula Deen is our insider and our expert that we'll lean on.
Chuck, I apologize. I got a little carried away with desserts. I apologize.
You own that. You own that. You own that opinion. I love it.
You were right,
it.
Too, Coach.
Thanks, bud.
It's our final segment. We got one last thing for Coach Holmgren. You get us started. What's one last thing you want to ask of Coach here this morning?
Well, I would just say one of the talks was kind of the view from 30,000 feet about where this team is going. Mike, It seems like it's pretty grim right now. How do you coach when you're in this situation? And then the other part is maybe just you as a fan. We heard from Russell Wilson all offseason that the disenchantment, and it really centered around two things: getting hit too much, and then his role in the offense. And there's a fair question, I think, among Seahawks fans is, okay, does this mean, if things really kind of continue to unravel here, does this mean that there may be a parting of the ways with Russell Wilson, maybe by his own doing or what have you? There's been enough speculation about that that at least the topic seems fair to discuss.
Yeah, I think it is fair to discuss. In fact, one of the takeaways for me for the game yesterday is they had a shot of after something bad happened. I don't remember exactly what it was, but Russell and Shane Waldron on the bench, and Russell was pretty animated and talking, which happens in games. It happened with me. But it triggered something. I'm saying, gee, you know, he wanted to be part of the decision making. It almost appeared to me like, come on, let's do this. We got to do more of this or whatever. That was my takeaway. Now, whether that happened or not, who knows? But yeah, I think it's a possibility. If the ship isn't heading in a different direction down the road here, that is a possibility. I think, however, that they're used to winning. They've got a lot of veterans on that team. That it all will come down to how they're playing and how they want to just go after this now when they're in a position they haven't been in a long time. How do you react? I've often said it's pretty easy to coach when you're winning. It really is. It's easier. It's fun. You overlook some things. But if you're losing, you get down to the nitty gritty, and it's now you got to play and you got to coach. And we'll see what they do.
Bucky, what do you got?
Yeah, well, it's kind of along those lines. I mean, I kind of would want to know what you would say to these guys in there, right? I mean, there's 7 games left, right? I mean, it's not like that's a small amount of games. You could go on a crazy run, but at the same time, these players have to recognize, even though I know as a player, I would be thinking, hey, we're fine. We're just going to go on a run here, and then we're going to surprise everybody because we think we're this close. It's this close from being good. But if the players are starting to recognize, man, we just continuously are falling short, coming up short of what we normally would have done in years past when Russell would pull this thing out of the fire. What would you say to these guys to make sure that everybody still is rolling in the same direction and it's not time to cash in all their chips?
Well, you know, you're right, Bucky, what you said, that the players typically say, we just missed this play and that play is a close game. Have we done that? Have we not made that penalty? If the referees didn't just give us a hard time, we would have won the football game. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is tough love and the hard truth. I can remember specifically when Todd Leitwicke came in as our new president, and we had played, I thought, a stinker of a game against somebody. I forget who it was. And I went in there, and he came in the locker room for the first time. You know, he was relatively new. And I was in one of those things, and I let him have it. I let everybody have it, coaches, players, everybody in that locker room. I wasn't proud of what I said, but it was something that needed to be said. And I remember Todd saying to our general manager at the time, crazy, wasn't Russell, it was someone else, wow, does he always act that way? And so, you know, but it had to be said. I mean, it starts with yourself, you know, and if you're being honest about it, and the players, it starts with yourself. It doesn't start with the players, then it goes to the coaches, then it goes to the players. But we're not playing the way we can play or the way we should play. So now what are you going to do about it, you know, and challenge them that way?
All right, my one last thing. What are you going to get me on Black Friday? What are you going to get for me for Christmas this year?
Black Friday's another thing. You know, I mean, are we going to go down this path? We talked about some. I listened to you the other day, and somebody, a neighbor, or somebody had put up Christmas lights already. Did I hear that wrong or right?
It's beautiful. Wonderful little setting.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. But boy, let's live day to day. Let's not project. You know, I would say the same thing to the football team. Let's agree, day to day. So Black Friday, stay away from it. Stay away from Black Friday.
I do stay away from Black Friday. I was just trying to get an early indication as to what you're going to finally get me for Christmas for once in my life.
I'm going to get you, you know what? I got a really beautiful set of trimmers for your mustache and your hair. Yeah. Spent a lot of money on that. Found it, though.
Somehow, I don't think it's trimmers. Somehow, I think it's a little more electric. Like something that will do some buzzing.
It's rather large. You got to hold it with two hands because you got a lot of hair.
Oh, I do. You can do hedge clippers if you'd like. All right. Well, Coach, thank you. We appreciate it. I guess we won't chat with you before Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the family and the apple pie and the whatnot.
I will absolutely do that. And the same to you guys. And then when we get back together, I would like a full rundown and an honest rundown of what we really didn't have to eat, you know?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you're going to be surprised. You're going to be surprised by my answer. I'll tell you that right now. Hugh, I guess we won't be chatting with you either, so happy Thanksgiving to you, sir. And thank you very much for everything. I'm giving my thanks to you two for making Monday so great.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, I think Hugh's already gone. And either that or he's crying. Maybe he's crying.
Yeah, he probably.
I touched his soul.
Get emotional.
Touched his heart a little bit right there is what I did.
Yeah, well, that's what you do on Thanksgiving, and you do that before you start celebrating Christmas.
Yeah. Who would like to carve up the Seahawks? Who would like to have the tools? All right, well, it wasn't the funnest breakdown of things, but I do believe we got to the heart of it today. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 6 a.m. And so coming up next, you got Jim Moore, you got Jason Puckett. I have a feeling they'll take their swing at what they saw yesterday as well. So we'll talk to you then. Have a great day. Sports Radio 950 KJ.